Hi, I'm Daniel Goulden, and welcome to the Asymptote Podcast. So for this episode, I wanted to take a break from analyzing world literature, you know, composing these audio essays, and just show you works from all around the world. That sounds simple enough, right? Well, no. In the process of producing this episode, I had to ask myself so many questions that probed the very heart of literature and translation. What's the difference between reading aloud and reading in your mind? Do texts change when we read them aloud? Should we read translations like they come from a foreign culture, or try to show how they're like our own? I tried to answer these questions as best I could, and now I hope you'll consider them too. And of course, you'll get to listen to some of the very best in world literature. This is the Asymptote Podcast. Before we start, I have a little announcement. Asymptote just turned 5 with our January issue, and we feel like celebrating. The festivities kick off in New York City on March 3rd at 6:30 p.m. at the New School Auditorium, as Forrest Gander, Anne Goldstein, and Natasha Wimmer, the translators of Neruda, Ferrante, and Bolaño, discuss their craft with moderator, short story writer, novelist, and all-around man of letters, Frederick Tooten. Tickets are available now, but act fast and use promo code CELEBRATEWORLDLIT, that's one word all caps, for a discount. On March 23rd in London, Caroline Bergvall, Tena Stivicic, and Hamid Ismailov discuss multilingualism with moderator Ross Schwartz. And on April 13th in Chicago, Nathaniel, Jason Grunebaum, Ray Andujar, and Colin Jordan join us for a night of performances and discussion. Tickets are available and easily purchased through Asymptote's Facebook page. Our first piece is a poem by the South African poet Toast Coetzer, who is also the frontman of the spoken word band The Buck Fever Underground. His poems are angular and have a strong rhythm. They almost feel like rap. He peppers his lines with pop culture references and brand names, which add to the disconnected nature of his work. This is a self-translation of the poem Circulations of Blood.
All right.
You ready?
Here we go. The furthermost bend, the outermost loop, the circulation of blood, the veins tied and knotted in a sack on the old wagon trail where copper feet can buy elephant foot coffee table, fist of ostrich ashtray, rhino horn snuff, fist pump. Pigeon down the axe handle, this is CGI, live for your brain, down to the blade, and split the mouth of the blade of the axe, open to the face of a tree, the blade now, and the circulation of the tree's outer windshell, open wound capillaries, wood tongue, wet heart, soils, brains, human donga, words welded together from the moving parts of guns. I collect the cries of people, the victims, the oppressed, the nameless dead, which go unheard, and I place them here. Far in the world, check this ant here on your wall, its teeny white shadow. Here, far in the world, check this ant here on your wall, its tiny white shadow, its teeny circulation. Step on it and flatten it, there's not even blood in it. Here, far on the loop of the lassoed equator, your globe. Far on the loop of your lassoed. Far on the loop of the lassoed equator, your globe is round as to fit in your iris, and far and south and wide and west, then the needle to the north. And far and south and wide and west, and needle to the north via a short compass rap song, with you as the polar traveler with lips around which seal fat glistens, and foot bones around which wrapped is meat, around which stiff socks and thick shoes, Crocs rubber space book S. Around which stiff socks and thick shoes, Crocs rubber, spaceboot-esque, like biblical loaves, submarines, frozen dachshunds are cracked into the snow, deepening the spore on the frozen white continent for which most of our eyes will remain forever hidden. See, a cataract can be pulled from your eye like the skin of a fruit. Here. In the circulation of blood through the thinking, devout forehead, the unbiological main brain of do and execute, fuck and chop, a gray grenade in the bed of cupped hands filled with delicate pamplemousse and wild thoughts. Man, wild thoughts. Note that the cataract is in the shape of Antarctica, the back of head oblongata cup of blood. The back of head oblongata's cup of blood, a pulped mulberry macchiato, in which lies your ability to unhuman, knives, nails, pangas, pedophilia, matricide, to be free, to drunk, to shithead, to bungee jump, to mad, to crazy, to love, to mother, to father, originally here, in your ears where the sounds of outer space collect. Here, in your ear, where the sounds of outer space collect as Toyota's Yaris in second gear, red-chested cuckoo, gravel tackies, downwind Reebok whistle next to TV sitcom laughter, chair, creaking vertebrae, silk-rushing water, city's din, Carew lark wing twerp, brake groan of windmill, the without words, small puppy sound, budgie alarms, paranoid helicopters of state, everything, everything constitutes the circle of blood. Human, you and I are bound by this red ribbon, which shoots like Spider-Man's yarn from my pulse to there, between you and her, and her and her mother, and her mother and her dead grandfather, and his deader father, and the deadmost great mother buried in a shallow flash grave by the trek route, or under a tree somewhere, or overhang, big flu or bullets, lion's tooth, spear, or just some unknown gnawing cancer. There's your golden string, there's your mulberry macchiato, your underwater alma mater, your prehistory which slinks backwards to your proto-otter hole, the maelstrom from which shines the light to your staring eyes to see, the hungers, the pillaging, the loneliness, the sadism, the lies, the leaders. The hungers, the pillaging, the loneliness, the sadism, the lies of leaders, the love of money, greeds, size, somber and shitty rock bands, frogs in mountain pools, gulls eating potato chirp. Gulls eating the love of money, greed, size, somber and shitty rock bands, frogs in mountain pools, gull eating potato chip, your karma measured in likes. For we all have followers these days, as we're all types of Jesuses. The exactness of heartbeat. The exactness of the heartbeat, from which the footfall, the fingerprints on the window, the remnants of a face in the sand, all of this drip from your finger to the floor, word by word. Here, here. Here, here. Here, here. Here, here. Here, here. Here, here.
So, we have a recording of Coetzee reading the poem in the original Afrikaans. It's clear that he's the frontman of a spoken word band. He dives into the rhythm of the poem, and occasionally sings. Here's an excerpt.
Duif al in die bylsteel af, hierdie is CGI live vir jou brein, na die lem daarvan, duik die mond daarvan, van die lem van die byl, oop teen die boom daarvan, die lem nou, so omloop van die boom se buitewind vel, oop vleisvaaikies, hout tong, nat hart, grondharsings, mense donga, woorde gemaak van gewere wat aan mekaar geswys is. Ek versamel die uitroepe van die mense, die slagoffers, die onderdruktes, die naamlose dooies wat nie gehoor word nie, en ek sit hulle hier. Ver in die wereld, kyk hier, hier's die mier, hier teen jou mier, sy skarweikie klein, sy bloedsomloopie fijn, trap om plat, hy maak splat, da spateers bloedie boetie, hier.
He fits the English words perfectly into the rhythm of the poem, yet they still stand out as garish, or even alien. For a moment, the poem almost becomes music. There's no way to read this on the page, but when Coetzee reads it aloud, the poem begins to push on the very boundaries of poetry. In our most recent issue, we have a fantastic feature on experimental translation, where our translators question not only the very concept of translation, but language itself. And I had a lot of fun figuring out ways to read these experimental translations aloud, because I found that they took on new dimensions when they were spoken. Our second poem comes from the feature and is entitled Martin Fierro Ordered Alphabetically by Victoria Coccaro and Rebecca Budin. It's a pretty cool poem. The original work is the Argentine national epic El Gaucho Martin Fierro, a poem universally known throughout Argentina. Author Pablo Carchagian reordered the epic alphabetically, making it basically impossible to translate. But translators Victoria Coccaro and Rebecca Budin tried anyway. In their translator's note, they discussed the challenges they faced. In English, Vicky and I did what Pablo did in Spanish. We ordered alphabetically an existing text. We, too, appropriate. If we translated the text from Pablo's or from the original, it wouldn't have been a translation, we felt, of El Martín Fierro Ordenado Alfabeticamente. The English excerpt, then, is not exactly a translation of the Spanish, you see. At times they meet and overlap, but most often not. In this version, we'd lose the recognizability of the original, but gain a new original for us in English. So this text, in its beauty of rhythm and newfound meaning, is what we have. I recommend reading it aloud with friends. And that's exactly what I did. I sat down with my friend Alessio Franco, who's done a lot of voice acting for the podcast, and we read the translation aloud, passing the microphone back and forth. First, we listened to Cachagian reading the original.
Eran los días del apuro. Es así la triste vida. Es como el patrio de posta. Es de admirar la destreza. Es bueno vivir en paz. Es la mejor compañera. Es porque no habían hallado. Es que era papolitano. Es que les gané el tirón. Es seguro que lo deja. Es triste a no poder más. Es triste en medio del campo. Es un telar de desdichas. Es sonso el cristiano macho.
So as you can hear, Cachagian has a relationship with his audience. They know the original work, it's memorized in Argentinian schools, and hearing it reordered as such is funny. Alessio and I tried our best to capture that rhythm and excitement.
A black girl riding behind him, a blessed saint who touched the heart, a Christian man takes leave of his senses, a criollo can make love, a deserter naked and penniless, a friend did me the favor, a gaucho always needs a good horse, a gaucho goes where he aims for, a gaucho has to go through with it, a gaucho pays for his ignorance, a gaucho roams like a ghost, a gaucho who's in trouble, a gaucho works and gets nowhere, a gaucho would make his way, a gaucho would live in his home country, a gaucho's born and he grows old, a huge fellow he was, and ugly, a lance long as a lasso, a lot of neighbors would turn up. A man can have his life. A man can live as well. A man feels love for them. A man going through his hard life. A man has to turn this way and that. A man shows in this life. A minister or lord knows that. A nice little conversation. A nice mattress you'd make for me. A real winner he was, the brute. A ruin and nothing more. A sound like the clank of a sword. A string of horses from a ranch. A strong one can pull through. A whack with the flat of my sword. A young tree growing.
About nothing and play acting, about that time, about the wrongs that we endure, according to the times, according to what I found out, according to what the chief said, according to what the judge promised, acting virtuous after a lot of fuss, after he'd been hit the black man had, after I'd saved my skin, after that misfortune, after the fright he'd had, after they've stolen its young, after two or three more days, against a gaucho who's in trouble, ah God, but I was left, ah what times they were, you felt proud, all alone, wild as a deer, all because of a little quarrel, all done on purpose seemingly, all for show, naturally. All his stock was a few bottles. All I could do was give up for dead. All the army and the regiments, all the kinds you need, all the sad things you've heard about, all the strings of his guitar. All there was to be heard was the mewing along the trail of love.
Already left without a father, although I've been so deeply wronged, although it's fair that the man who's selling, although there were a good many of them, always cheerful and well-mounted, always has some hanger-on, always lived in grand style, always lived there under the cart, always makes some mistake, always poor and hounded among so many troubles, an Indian fixes everything.
And a braver bull in the next one, and a gaucho knows what it is, and a good many days after that, and 100 things to talk over, and a monkey that danced, and a pair of them went for me, and a woman backs away like a mule, and after a good throw, and after they had passed, and after they've achieved it, and all the pain I've had to bear. Because a gaucho they call a vagrant, because a man does what he must, because a man who is kept from sleep, because an outlaw has no nesting place, because he balanced the good things, because he came from Inca La Pera, because he had influence, because he'll come down on you, because he's a gaucho thief, because his joke cost him dear, because I can look after myself, because I live sorrowing, because I never saw it come, because I was riding a half-wild horse, because if you set foot in your house, because in this country, friend, because my tongue is twisting, because no matter how things are, because nothing teaches you so much, because now there's no saving you, because that kept well out of sight, because that man wasn't slow, because that's what the ones who rule us want, because the best that happens is, because the great jug of booze, because the only use a gaucho is, because the rights of poor men, because the whole lot there were, because there was no ammunition, because there was no stopping us, because they were all in the dark, because they'd found some tracks beat, because they'd go hitting you, because this had another key to it, because when I've had a drink, because when there's been rain, because where a weak man gets stuck. Maps of my day. Recording that was a ton of fun. I really encourage you to read the poem with your friends. Seriously, do it. One thing we noticed was that even though the poem is arranged alphabetically, not chronologically, we still got a sense of what it was about. Even though the story was cut up and rearranged, it was still there. I don't know how to describe our next translation, except to say that it's really cool. Translators Joe Penn and Martin Rock took the haikus of Neten Tsubuchi and ran with them, really, really far. It's really hard to translate poems that are in a strict meter because you have to decide between maintaining the meter and maintaining the content. Penn and Rock threw the problem out the window. First, they translated Tsubuchi's haikus homophonically, and then, instead of doing a single translation, they did multiple. They also constructed these translation webs that kind of look like words orbiting other words. I wish I could show you, but you should check them out on our website. In their translator's note, they say, "Every word in Neten Tsuboshi's haiku is a node on a web. To focus only on English language equivalents is to disregard relationships, to change the web's shape. In our approach to these translations, we've borrowed the concept of the relational field from psychoanalytic theory. We represent each of Nenten's haiku in myriad forms, each form a possible rendering of the web. As a result, the diagrams sometimes deconstruct words and phrases that may seem commonplace to the native speaker of Japanese in an effort to elucidate their inherent complexity. We hope this is a foreignizing text for both readers of English grappling with unfamiliar linguistic systems and for native speakers of Japanese viewing their language through the eyes of foreigners." Hope you enjoy.
A bathing hippo blazes. Snowflowers. Hippo. Bathing, burning, snowflake. A hippo immersed in water is and is not a snowflake on fire. Inside water. The river horse. Burning snowflakes. That smoldering hippo, that snowflake, burning. To the spring wind, mother is dead. Her medicine scatters. Mother is scattered on the spring wind, her medicine breath. What dissipates? Mother's death on the spring wind. Medicine called scattered dragon. Spring, scattering, wind, mother, dead, medicine, dragon, corner, scatter. A grasshopper hops. The weak green sky of Asia. O grasshopper, leaping into the watery green sky of Asia. A child's reading of grasshopper, green Asian sky without the complexity of Asia. Lacking the grasshopper's hoppers, the green sky of Asia thins. Language declines. The grasshopper becomes less grasshopper. The green of Asia's sky less green. Surrounding the Tanpopo's popo, fire, the mane of the dandelion's lion is burning, both word and object. A dandelion blazes. The fire pops inside the dandelion, a steam locomotive. A dandelion bursts. Fire spreads.
Okay, so now we're going to look at a different kind of translation. Rajiv Mohabir's translation of Labihari Sharma, an Indo-Caribbean author who's published a collection of folk songs. It's not from our experimental feature, but it's experimental in its own way. It's not a poem per se, it's the lyrics of a folk song, but it has poetry in and of itself.
Sakhi, as soon as I wake, I dress as spring, with armlets, bangles, and rings. The necklace around my throat gleams like my forehead's bindi. I sit on the bed and call, Pia, Pia. Don't tell me any news of him. Don't tell me. I've wasted my life. My blouse bursts. My whole body aches for him. This distance between us I cannot bear. I am lost. The Papiha bird cries, Pia, Pia. Hearing this unstitches me. Lal Bihari. Peace. Peace.
So just a heads up, we didn't get to play all of the piece because unfortunately we just didn't have the time, but we presented the translation of the entirety of the song. You can read and listen to all of it on our website. And last, but most definitely not least, is another work from our experimental translation feature. And before I talk about it, let me tell you a story. My mother is a lawyer. She runs her own small firm. And I spent the summer between my junior and senior year of college working for her. I sat on the floor of her storage room going through files. See, there are strict laws about what lawyers can and can't throw out, so I had to go through nearly 20 years worth of paperwork sorting out what could stay and what could go. It was menial and repetitive, but I loved it. In every case file, there was a story. My mother is an employment lawyer. If someone gets fired because of discrimination, she represents them. Her job is to assemble legal briefs, memos, testimonies, and collate them into a story, and then use that story to convince a jury that her client was wronged. Just because we seek out stories in TV, movies, books, and podcasts doesn't mean that they don't exist elsewhere. Poet Jared Pierce saw stories in seemingly uninteresting translations of Babylonian tablets. The tablets contained records of contracts conducted thousands of years ago, but Pierce wanted to translate not just the contracts, but the stories behind them. In his translator's note, he says, "In his book, Old Babylonian Contracts, Edward Chiara's choice of publishing transliterations of certain cuneiform tablets was based on the tablet's unique employment of language. I discovered this book while researching Babylonian poetry and mythology, and was astonished at the sometimes beautiful and sometimes sordid parallels and repetitions between human life today and as it was, at least how it was recorded to be in these contracts over 3,000 years ago. Having been familiar with other poetic ventures that traveled similar lanes, I set out to connect ancient Babylon with contemporary America. So when I started recording these, the voice actors and I decided to read them not as impartial readers, but as characters. We tried not only to bring them to life, but bring them to the 21st century. The Named Infant.
Ayasaram, let's take him. Let's make the law take him if she won't, little Ned. Have we not paid the 10 silver shekels to you, the 2 manawol? How dare you name him Ili Awilim? You may have suffered, you might have prayed, but he's ours, little Ned. We paid, as the legal contract held, and you delivered. Now, hand him over, and we will depart. Do you hear? Give him to me, by Ea's holy virtue." His mother.
Neighbor kid.
Petiju, come closer. Here, you know, my dead leg, how my daughter's married, how my son-in-laws refuse me. You lived next door these 20 years and have inherited your father, my friend's land, and I am unable now to feed myself. I will give you my orchard, my fields, and this house, and you shall be my son if you'll give every month flour, every year 1 gur and pie barley, some wool, perhaps 5 ka oil. And should you leave angry the land and house, come back to me, and if you hold alimony, pay a third man of silver for rent and depart. Now I am naked, an old beggar broken in the teeth, useless save for stories for the children. All my thoughts are laid bare before your young arm. Take me as your father, for otherwise I lie among the scorpions tonight."
The High Priest blesses. "Every day, Damaribam, you pass by looking for work. You, who can barely climb orchards, who cannot yet wield a scythe. You, whose father Ordatum was exiled for leprosy, yet you attempt in his place to provide for your mothers and sisters. Take this, 1 gur, 4 pi, and 40 ka barley for the food of Shamash, to be in you and your family, and pay it back as soon as you can reach the orchard heights, as you stumble with your dignity." Woman, you mission.
"I will forget this. I will forget this. Faster, rub out all the skin, all his hands, all their blank whips, all serving trays nightly lays with a stupid girl. Her father and his hands all nightly rubbing soundly covers me, arms rubs around eyes. I can't keep into his rub the rub. Faster, the trays tip over the girl. This mark must come out, must clean up all this rubbing out, marked and named and sold and rubbed out. I'll rub out all over this.
The cause of justice. Luckily, I spied them in the car. Disguised, naturally. I suppose they were headed for Uruk, or Ur, or someplace south, so I yelled for the cops and brought them to court. No, it's ridiculous, because now I've got only one more damn tablet saying they owe me, telling me what I know already, but what I wouldn't forgive to reach down their gullets, tear out chunks of their livers, and eat them so slowly. This is the payment I require now. Now I'm blocked by the very law that's supposed to protect from thieves and double traitors. At Humbaba's Cloister.
Drinks! My friends, drinks! I have just come from the registrar's.
Anshu, what's the celebration? Why do you call for us with the lion's roar? Have you inherited?
You remember Muhaditum, the widow? We are today married, and I adopted her 3 sons. But this is not all. I gave each an orchard of mine. They divided the land for themselves, and I've nipped a wife of silver thighs and 3 orchard workers for picking and pruning and drawing. But it gets better. Should my adopted sons revile their mother or me, the land reverts to me and all its produce. And if I revile them, so I've worked the contract, the land comes to me still. What this adds up to is free labor, you numbskull. I work them as sons and fire them as common men.
But is this good, Anshu? I mean, how did you arrange for such a contract?
I tell you, it's a glorious plot, for I can work more land, sell more dates, and come home to Muhaditum. They are of age. They have fixed their seals themselves. So drink, lads, drink! This is all just the beginning.
Samsul Ikolnikov, tenant farmer. Only 2 months will that old hag give me the field, and only a 1/9 of gar at that. How can I live on onions for such a time? These rich widow landowners need a pickaxe driven through their weeping skulls. But it's the land, after all, and work, and to slap me with 2 gar barley on top of the small field and limited season, her day comes quickly, and we'll see the gods swoop to protect her from a certain night when, after with a vile breath, her stops shortly.
Hire of a gardener.
Cheap. But what do I need besides the 2 for food, the 3 for drink? Gamelum's a hard man, but that 1 shekel sent to my family in Beth Shan will ease their worry, their life, by a lot more than it will here. And I only need my own clothes, which will last a while, so I can send more home. And I start in a week with 1 shekel already in hand to widen trees and transplant stuff I do at home for 1/2 as much. This is the land of opportunity, where a man can make his own life, and soon we'll all abound in superfluous expressions and feasts.
Special thanks to our voice actors, Alessio Franco, Piali Sham, and David Brummer. And thanks to our audio editor, Mirza Puritz. You can find everything we've read on this episode on our website, asymptotejournal.com. This has been the Asymptote Podcast. I've been Daniel Goulden. We'll see you next month.
Why don't you hold your head so high? Someday, baby, you know you're gonna die.